Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's HandyLink. You're listening to HandyLink on CJAM 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit.
Welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Janice Koval from the Windsor Public Library. So tell me a little bit about accessibility services at the library.
Okay, well, we certainly, if the library wants to have our services accessible to anyone with any kind of disability or any kind of accessible problem. So what we have done is, of course, we've, you know, managed to come to the code that everyone has to, you know, the Accessibility Act for Ontario. So we certainly follow that in the way the building has now been, you know, set up. But the actual services, we have an accessibility department where we offer books on CD, large print books because people with visible problems, and books on DAISY. 95% of the people that deal with have a visual problem usually, or a mobility problem, or even the ability, a physical ability, difficulty to hold a book. So those are the major ones that we address. We also have been starting some, and these are for adults. I mean, obviously, our collection is mainly put for adults. But we also have, have a connection with the CNIB. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the CELA program that the CNIB have that we are now partnered with.
I've heard of it, but for my audience, could you kind of take
us
through?
Of course. Okay, yeah, the CELA program stands for Center for Equitable Library Access, right, CELA. And it is a program put out by, that has been funded by the government and through the CNIB. And they work in conjunction with their local libraries. So, of course, any citizen who has been, you know, helped, CNIB has come forward to help them with different problems or different sites of problems. They are given a registered CNIB number. They're quite strict in their, as you probably know, in their criteria of what defines, you know, blindness or, you know, type of blindness that they would deal with. And people who meet their criteria are eligible to access the CNIB collection. Now, the CNIB collection has, over the several years, consisted of tapes, you know, back to the little tapes, and then they went to the DAISY format. Now, a DAISY is a single disc that has an entire book on it. If you think back, I don't know how old you are, if you think back when the CD-ROMs first came out, back in the early 90s or so, you'd have a whole encyclopedia on one disc, and everybody was amazed, and you could, you know, you could access it. Now, books have been, of course, now recorded on CDs, but usually there's 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 CDs in a, for a single library book, or a single title, rather. Now, these DAISYs have the ability, it's been compressed in such a way that one daisy, which looks just like a CD, will hold an entire book. And so there is no need for the patient to be taking disc one out and putting disc two and disc three and disc four, because they can hear it all on one disc. Now, that's the advantage of the DAISY format. It needs to be played usually on a specialized player, which is something that CNIB has, but the library has purchased 10 of these DAISY players, the Victor Stream, actually is what they're called, but we call them DAISY players. And the good thing about that is that they are smallish, quite small, maybe the size 12 by 12 or so, maybe a couple of inches thick. And they have only half a dozen or three or four buttons that are large, raised, that are very easy, off, on, play, stop type of thing. You know, very simple, which you could do if you were very poorly sighted or blind, because once you know where the button is, you can press it. And then the machine just flips open, you drop the daisy in it, you close it, and then hit play. There's not a lot of buttons to fiddle with, and when they stop, or when you stop listening to it for a while, whatever you just want, and you hit play again, it will pick up where you want, where you left off. Now, as with anything, the format, the technology is getting more advanced for even these Victor readers, and now they are getting more and more bells and whistles on them. But the library owns 10 of these readers that we load out to the public, who need them, and we loan out our daisies as well. We have a big collection of daisies because CNIB has provided them to all the public libraries in Canada, if they want them, and we certainly wanted them, and we have them cataloged and housed here at the main library, Central Library.
So, I was wondering about something you mentioned earlier.
Okay.
In regards to a person who has difficulty with holding a book, what sort of accommodation could you make for that?
Well, for one thing, again, we don't judge a lot of these. Like the other, this department and the library as a whole, and me specifically, because I'm working in this area, we don't really judge them by how badly they're unable to hold the book. Now, what we do have are the reason that the tapes are, we would suggest a tape if they're not unable to hold the book, using a book on CD rather, because then they really don't have to hold it. They just have to somehow put it in into their own CD player or whatever specialized machine they have. They wouldn't be able to hold the book, and that way they wouldn't have to hold the book, obviously. We do have one or two a book stand that can be used, but they're not really requested. They're not really requested that much. People who have trouble holding a book, or for whatever the reason, or manipulating the pages or anything, they usually are best off with something like a daisy, which is you're not having to hang on to a book the whole time. You're just making one or two movements, and then able to listen to it. That's one thing, Pam. The other thing is that the library does have a very, very large collection of books that you can download. And you can download them directly from our library site. And again, that's fairly simple if you're able to have someone help you, even if you have trouble. And once that's downloaded, if it's downloaded to something like an e-reader, you wouldn't have to hold a book. You have the screen in front of you, and if your eyes are okay, and you can make the script, print larger or smaller, of course, then you wouldn't have to hold it. You could have it just sitting on a table, and then the only thing you'd have to do is click or slide your finger or something. So that would be helpful for people who are unable to physically handle a book. And there are people who find that So I would say those are the two that I can come up with. The library is really for people who also want to just listen to a book as opposed to reading like an e-book, which is downloading it to a physical device or your computer, of course, if you have a computer, and then reading it on the screen, being able to adjust the print just with, you know, a finger control. We also have it, you can download it to OverDrive, you can download it to a device that will play the book for you. And again, you wouldn't need to have too much physical dexterity to be able to do that. Oh, yeah, may I say one other thing, Pam?
Certainly.
When I started to talk about CELA, the CNIB, I want to also point out that one of the main reasons that CNIB, with their CELA program, you know, why we're involved with them, is because they believe in partnering with a local library, and they have online. The last time they sent me their promotional stuff, 180,000 items that people can download, and if you're a member of CELA, you know which you are, CNIB gives you the, you know clears you with the criteria. CNIB sends the library the name of a person in Windsor who has expressed interest in becoming a member of CELA, and we talk to that person, give them a library card so that they set some registration of some sort. We register them based on what CNIB said. Then we give them a library card, go through a long registration form that we do. I can do verbally over the phone, and the staff has to fill out the form. It's not the customer. We fill out the form, and they become a member of CELA's department, and they have access to all this information, textbooks, magazines, DVDs, all sorts of things that they now have are available to use, and it's because they've also gone through us. It's a partnership. I wanted to say that.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Canadians are being bought and sold. We can no longer ignore this reality. Each of the 27 million human trafficking victims around the globe has a unique story. 80% of victims are women, 50% are children. This is not only a global injustice, but a local reality. It is happening right now in my community. We are asking you to take action today. Visit endexploitation.com. Get informed and take action. British anti-slavery leader William Wilberforce once said, "Having heard all this, you may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know." Only question now is, what will you do? Join us and help eliminate human slavery in Canada.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Janice Koval from the Windsor Public Library. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Derek Roy from Community Living. He'll be telling us about a new employment initiative. So tell me a little bit about the new employment initiative.
All right, so our new employment initiative is called First Choice Employment. Basically, what we're doing is partnering with Community Living Windsor, and we're really putting focus on employment now. We've always offered employment support, but now, you know, it's a hot topic in the news, and we recently received a grant from the Ministry of Community and Social Services through, and it's called the Employment and Modernization Fund. So we're using that fund to kind of really update and revamp our employment supports, offer new training to our employment staff, and sort of looking at our delivery model and giving it more of a business spin, so that when we talk to employers, we're really making it more of a business interaction, instead of kind of going in as a charity, because Community Living Essex County is a nonprofit registered charitable organization. We're really wearing our business hat and saying, you know what, this makes good business sense. We don't want people hiring people with an intellectual disability out of charity. So that's kind of the mission of this First Choice appointment right now. I should mention, actually, that we were one of 36 recipients of the Modernization Fund across Ontario, so pretty fortunate.
So have there been any challenges since the upgrades began?
I guess our biggest challenge is kind of working with employers and sort of really making them understand that it makes good business sense. And we don't want them to see a charity when we come in and talk to them. We want them to see that, you know, we're another business as well. And it just makes good business sense. People with intellectual disabilities, statistics actually show that, you know, they're a great workforce. A lot of concerns from, actually, the number one fear from employers is the fear of having to fire somebody. So what we're trying to do, and I think we're very successful at this, is going in and kind of alleviating that fear right away. So through our employment supports, you know, we'll say number one fear is having to fire somebody. Our job is to make sure it's a good fit, and that never happens. But for whatever reason, if it's not a good fit, then that's up to us. We'll find somebody else that fits your business. So that seems to be really working well, and employers really appreciate that. There's a level of trust that's gained there as well.
So do you provide any special training to a potential applicant who's tied to community living before they go into a workplace situation?
Actually, that's a great question, because we are about to launch our pre-employment workshop. It's called JobStart. We've done a little research, and we recently purchased a toolkit from Community Living Sarnia Lambton. They developed this toolkit using the same Employment and Modernization Fund that we received. So they used this fund to develop this toolkit, and so we went up to Sarnia about 2 weeks ago, had a training on that, and we are looking to launch our version of JobStart in January, actually. So we're looking for January 25th start date in 2016. And basically what this is, it allows our employment specialists to get to know the people who are looking for employment, get to know them, and then the job seekers can get to know themselves, find out their interests. There's a little bit of self-discovery involved. And I think it's going to be a great tool. It'll allow us to kind of find a better match suited to their interests, but also what employers are looking for. Because part of what we do as well is when we meet with employers, we kind of find out what they need. A great example of this is a retail store. We met with them, and they had mentioned that every Thursday for 3 hours, he has to take his two salespeople off the floor and bring them to the back to do shipments. So what we did, we went in and I explained, well, we could have somebody come here, you know, once a week for 3 hours, and they'll take care of the shipping for you. And that's been working out really well. I think a misconception is that employers think that we mean full-time employment when we go in, but that's not the case. It's, you know, as long as it's meaningful to the person that we're supporting through our employment services, you know, it could be 3 hours a day, 3 hours a week, what suits the employer, what suits the job seeker, really.
So, in your time working with disability employment services, what's been the greatest success that you've witnessed?
Well, the greatest success that I have witnessed, I think that would have to be working with the City of Windsor. We contacted them about and let them know about our First Choice Employment Initiative. They were very excited, they were very on board, and we actually have 4 people hired with the City of Windsor kind of working in the Parks and Rec department, and that's been great so far. So just seeing that municipality, you know, understands where we're coming from and is on board was really great. Unionized positions, you know, equal pay, it was fantastic to me.
So if you could send any one message to the employers out there about why it is individuals with disabilities should have meaningful opportunities, what would you say?
I would say that people with intellectual disabilities are an untapped workforce. Statistics really show that attendance is average or better than other employees. There's less risk in safety. I know a lot of employers, you know, they think about WSIB, safety concerns, but statistics really do indicate that people with intellectual disabilities are a lot safer in the workplace. So, you know, that speaks volumes, and it really does make good business sense. Businesses care about the bottom line, and, you know, we can help that.
So what are the next steps for the initiative?
Next steps? Well, in the new year, we'll be launching our Job Start pre-employment workshop. We're very excited about that. We're looking to offer that 3 times a year. That'll be 5 days a week from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. And that'll run 6 weeks, actually. So that's first. Next, we are looking to kind of brand ourselves with more of a business identity. So, yes, we are from Community Living Essex County, but we're looking to kind of give our employment department its own name. So right now we're in the process of doing that. We'll be launching some marketing materials, sending those out. We're really excited about that. We're working with the school board. We really want to make sure that co-op is an option for students with intellectual disabilities in school. Also, along those lines, we're also looking at starting a summer jobs program for students during the summer who will be returning to school in the fall. Now, that probably won't be launched for probably not next summer, but hopefully the summer before. A lot of kinks to work out, so we're still actively pursuing that. Very exciting.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Thank you, Cameron. Thanks for having me.
Of course. For more information on this initiative, visit communitylivingessex.org or look up Community Living Essex County on Facebook. It's an amazing gift to the community, folks. It's giving these individuals with intellectual disabilities not just an equal opportunity, chance to shine with their skills, but also shattering the myth that so many of us live under at one time or another. The one that says, I don't have enough strength to do this. I can only take from the system. I can't give anything back. This is completely reversing that, in so much as an organization, Community Living, is saying, we know you have skills, and we want you to have the chance to give something meaningful to the community. And it can't just be busy work. It can't be just stocking shelves or doing tedious paperwork hour after hour. If it's something that actually benefits a business, if it's something that gives them something they need, it's just good sense. It's an equal opportunity for a person with an intellectual disability or any kind. It's making the community more and more aware that these people do have skills and potentials, and we as a society have no right to say, because you learn a little differently, we're going to dismiss you. We're going to say that we'd rather not have you around just because you're a little bit different. We as a society have no right to do that to any group, because after a while, You start nitpicking on everything. You find yourself with a standard no one could live up to. Great example, a couple of years ago, was interviewing an employment support person who had been working with a nurse who was told she could not return to work until a doctor could certify that she wouldn't make a mistake. That's impossible. Mistakes are part of what makes us human. But having the capability to learn from those and to grow and to work with your colleagues, your employers, to find solutions, that's also part of what makes us human. The greatest gift anyone has, whether they have a disability or not, is the potential to be more than they are, to understand more than they do. And that is something that nobody has the right to say, you don't have this potential, or you can't learn, you can't grow into this job. An employer can't know that. You can't assume that someone's incapable till you put them to the task. And I'm sure for any person with a disability, they will surprise you. And their reliability, their commitment, their strength as a worker. But honestly, it should come as no surprise. They are strong, intelligent, capable people. If you hire anyone to do any kind of work, just as a rule of business, you want the best people you can get. And just creating something tedious or meaningless for a person with a disability adds nothing to the business, adds nothing to the person. However, when you find that balance, you find what they can do and how it can benefit you as a business, then something wonderful has been created. And also, if you do include individuals with disabilities in a business sense, you develop a reputation as a company committed to true diversity, not just tokenism, not just having somebody with a disability around to rest on your laurels and say, here, we're technically compliant. No. If you have them as a part of it all, you find their perspectives most welcome many times, and you develop a reputation in the community. People look and say, they're doing something really meaningful. Their ideals and their actions match. And this factors into my decision as to whether or not to do business with them. It is good sense, but beyond that, it's common sense. You can't have a business in a community without including different groups from the community. Because you just can't discriminate based on any one trait. For the truth is, we all have that something that makes us unique, makes us human. And that is not something to be feared. That is something to be embraced and celebrated. And yes, even learned from. That's something that you'd find a lot in business. That a person with a disability can bring an insight like no other could. And really, it's a breath of fresh air in many cases. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.